Standing for the reading of the Gospel, the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." When she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. She could feel herself falling, as if plunging down some abandoned well. She imagined herself reaching out with her hands to try to break her fall, but nothing stopped it. Just down, down, ever darker, ever deeper. The depression came quickly. She couldn't imagine living in this darkness another minute, a place so dark she could not be seen, a place so dark she could not see anyone else. No one could find her in this place. In this place, death was her friend. And she knew depression would kill her. If you fast forward a couple of years, and this same woman moves in the early morning darkness toward the grave, Mary Magdalene, a woman healed by Jesus, walking alone in the darkness. They said that she had seven demons. Honesty compels me to tell you, I don't believe in demon possession. I do think it's a wonderful way to describe the awful pain and woundedness of mental illness. I see Mary Magdalene as one possessed of dark moods, with sadness so deep that sighing doesn't begin to touch it. I see her as one perhaps bedeviled by fear, living expecting to be singled out and scrutinized and found wanting. If she could not hear what people said, she always assumed they were talking about her and that their words were not kind. She assumed herself surrounded by a mean girls' club, and she heard every word with a jaundiced mind. Or perhaps there were fewer and fewer situations where she felt safe and fewer people with whom she felt safe. Sometimes the fear just smothered her and it was hard to breathe. Or maybe the demons of abuse still haunted her, the question still in her mind, how could my father do that to me? How could my brothers do that to me? How could the men in my life so betray me? And yet they did, and so she thought something was wrong with her. So much guilt, so much shame. Forgiveness unable to crawl over the walls she built around herself. Maybe she believed that everything she did turned to dirt. Maybe she thought she was just repulsive even to God. We don't know much about her healing. Instantaneous, maybe. A waving of a hand, a touch. We don't know. Maybe it's more like a slow dawn, the burning off of fog on an Easter Sunday morning. But she became part of that group, that entourage, hanging with Jesus, basking in the light of that love, flourishing and being treated like a real person. Safety. She felt safety in his presence. She remembers the day she caught herself laughing and laughing at herself for laughing. She began to see color and beauty. She began to hear music again. And she began to be convinced of the friendship of God. John's gospel starts with the assertion that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And Mary Magdalene is exhibit A. But the darkness came back. Swept up in a whirlwind of hateful politics and arrest, a separation, the joke of a trial, and a death unimaginable in its cruelty, and the smothering helplessness of having no power to stop any of it, you could only watch. And I cannot imagine what watching the spectacle of the crucifixion did to her heart and mind. For her, the light shone in the darkness, and now the darkness has snuffed it out. So now in our text, she shuffles in the shadows toward the sepulcher, focused on the grisly task of anointing a body that's been dead for 3 days. But she remembers that he anointed her when her life was in decay. This is her one last act of devotion. But the grave has been disturbed, and a rage pushes aside her sadness. I've been with some families whose loved ones' graves were disturbed, and the rage is palpable. She must have thought, can't they ever leave him alone? Haven't they done enough to him? And she ran to tell the men, who had some authority, maybe, not much, but more than she had. Well, they raced to the grave, and they looked around. They noted the position of the grave clothes. It didn't look like something grave robbers would do, more like a lazy teenager sloughing off clothes and leaving them laying where they took them off. The choir and the orchestra have already heard this. They know the inspiration for that line. One of them saw and believed, which is interesting because John's the last gospel that's written, and hindsight in faith is 20/20. It also says they didn't understand yet. John pats himself on the back. And these two guys are going to be regarded as saints eventually, and they go home. They go home. Their saintliness needs practice because they left Mary Magdalene weeping alone in the dark at the grave. Elizabeth Lesser wrote a book called Broken Open. It evokes a portrait of a person who is weighed down by grief and sadness due to loss and circumstance to the place where they just break open. There's too much inside to contain. Mary Magdalene stays in the graveyard weeping, too bereaved to believe anything. She sees a couple of angels. And I love this detail. She sees him, but so what? She's not looking for angels. Then the gardener and angels and gardeners ask her why she weeps. But she's at the edge of her knowledge. She can only ask, what did you do with the body? Then the gardener, who is not a gardener, but Jesus, says her name, Mary. And what John said at the beginning, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, begins to dawn anew with ever-deepening meaning for Mary Magdalene. Perhaps for us. We're here celebrating Easter, enjoying the beauty of spring in Kentucky, reaffirming our hope and our faith. And yet many of us are here like Mary Magdalene, bumping into the boundaries of what we know. And we know so much more than she did. Our advances in knowledge are tremendous. How are we to believe in something so beyond our boundaries of knowledge? I don't have a formula for faith for you. I don't have an algorithm for belief for you. I'm just noticing Mary Magdalene. And I'm noticing that she set out to do the best thing she knew to do in the darkest time. A bloody body decaying, at least she could make it a little bit better. A grisly, gagging task. I don't know how you feel about the times in which we live. They feel dark to me. The climate hurtling toward disaster, a resurgence of hate apparently only hidden by the thin veneer of civilization, only waiting for some politician to utter vile words and scratch off that surface. The widening gap of wealth and the blaming of minorities and people of color because we're told to blame them and told to be afraid of them. Crimes against children, crimes. And their only crime was to be born in a family of desperation. A tsunami of lies. The alienation of peoples from each other. The times feel dark. And it makes me question. And it tempts me to despair. Maybe you bring some personal dark time or the memory of it to this moment. And we understand Mary Magdalene weeping in a garden, broken open, because we've wept in our own cemeteries. But she does the best she knows to do in the darkest of times. There'll be no award ceremony for her act. Roman cruelty did its best to separate people from any idealism they might have. But Mary Magdalene's act is one of defiant love. It's like she's saying, you cannot make me turn away from loving him. My hands will continue to do tender things. I am willing to deal even with death. I will not let your cruelty determine how I live my life. The raw courage of Mary Magdalene calls to us when we run into the boundaries of our knowledge. Well, the best we know is love, a love that compels her to anoint a dead body, a love revealed by the depths of her grief, a love betrayed by these men who race to the grave where they've been unwilling to go before, a love that seeks understanding, even not knowing what questions to ask. She just wants to know, where's the body? The angels and Jesus ask her, why are you weeping? Well, try that question at a funeral home and see how that works out for you. But Mary is ferocious in her answer. Tell me where he is. I will carry him away. It boggles the mind to think that she can carry a full-grown man, dead body. But then the question is different. What do you really want? Who do we really want? Whom do you seek? An invitation to a courageous curiosity. Echoing the first chapter of John once again, when Jesus calls disciples and wants to know, what is it you're seeking? And the men have left, gone back to safety. It's striking to me that Mary stays. Mary stays present in the mystery and in the pain, at the edge of her knowledge, giving that awful suffering the opportunity to teach her about the one who is not limited by our knowledge nor by our expectations. The moment is raw and honest. And in that moment, she hears her name. At the moment of feeling the terrible absence of God, she hears Mary. She's been called by names, crazy, demonic. And now the sweet sound of her own name. John wrote earlier that the good shepherd calls the sheep by name and they hear and they recognize his voice. She recognizes the voice. To be called by one's name is to be known, to be seen, is to have our struggles recognized, our pain heard. And when the demons of despair and isolation threaten to overwhelm us, there is this triumphant note of Easter, the Holy One calling your name and mine. And she responds, Rabboni, means teacher, but more than just teacher, an affectionate term, my teacher, an invitation to an intimacy with this one who stands before, an invitation to this intimacy with the Holy One. Not only God high and lifted up, but God beside me in the dark at the grave. And we embrace that one with whom we can share everything, even and maybe especially those things we're afraid to share elsewhere. But honesty also compels us to say that sometimes when we're in that place where we are broken open, we don't hear our name. We don't hear the voice of God. Oh, to be sure, we hear other voices that call us to despair, that call us to give up. Sometimes it's really hard to hear over those voices. But let's be honest, too. Sometimes it's about our listening. Many of us are like the men. We went home. But Mary Magdalene does the hard lifting of staying in that place, in that mystery, in that pain. Years ago, I made a pastoral visit in Fulton, Missouri, at the State Psychiatric Hospital there. This had been well over 30 years ago now. A woman that I went to see, broken, crude, cruel parents had just broken her. She was paranoid, and she was hearing voices. She told me of her story of loving a man, her husband. And she told me of the day he died and how she spiraled down from that time. And I asked her, what made him so special? And she said, when I was hearing voices, I could always ask him which voice was real. And he'd help me know. Mary Magdalene helps us know which voice is real. It's the one that calls our name in compassion, that calls us to courage when we're broken open at the edge of knowledge. It calls us to listen to the voice that loves you and hear the life of God beyond any grave. Amen.